Have you ever had the phone ring in the middle of the night? It's not when you expect it. You're in a dead sleep, and all of a sudden, there's that shattering of that sleep. When you get up, in a sense, you're panicked, aren't you? Because who would be calling you at this time of night? What kind of a message are they going to give to you? Oh, beloved, how are you going to handle those difficult phone calls, that message of pain? We'll talk about it today as I take you to a message I delivered at our national convention.
We all long for life to be as smooth as possible. We don't like it when our boat is rocked, but the storms of life are inevitable. And in those times, your faith in God faces its real test. Today on Precepts for Life, Precept Ministries' Kay Arthur talks more about surviving in the midst of crisis as she continues a message recorded live at our 2006 National Women's Convention in Chattanooga, Tennessee. Here's Kay.
It was May 28th. It was a Sunday. And I have a little breakfast room, and it's my quiet place. And I go in, and I sit down, and it's almost like the minute I sit down, girls, I go, because I'm going to meet with my God, because I'm going to open His Word, because I'm going to talk to Him, and He's going to talk to me. Because when you open this book, listen to me carefully, this is not an ordinary book. This is the very words of God, the very words of God. God has spoken. And when you open this book, you are not hearing from man. You are hearing directly from God. You have to have no doubt about it. This is pure, unadulterated truth. Jesus prayed for you, Father, sanctify them, set them apart, sanctify them in thy truth. Thy word is truth. So I opened. And as I opened, I turned to Psalm 62. And it says, my soul waits in silence for God only. From Him is my salvation. He only is my rock and my salvation, my stronghold. I shall not be greatly shaken. He says in verse 5, my soul wait in silence for God only, for my hope is from Him. He only is my rock and my salvation, my stronghold. I shall not be shaken. I shall not be shaken. He's my stronghold. He only is my rock and my salvation. Do you see Him repeating it? Three times it says, He only. And then it says this, on God my salvation, verse 7, and my glory rest. The rock of my strength, my refuge is in God. Trust in Him at all times, O people. Trust in Him at all times. At all times, I have put a clock because I want to know who and what and when. When is God saying this? When am I to do this? When is it going to happen? No matter what the situation, no matter the storm, no matter whether the water's coming in and the gale is fierce and you think you're going to perish, you are to trust in Him at all times. God is a refuge for us. Who is your refuge? Where do you run in the times of trouble? If you're in a storm and if you're in the boat, then you need to do as the disciples did. They went to Jesus. But when they went to Jesus, Jesus had to ask them a question. Why are you afraid? And the answer to that question was they didn't have faith. The answer to that question was they were afraid because they were not trusting the one that was in the boat with them. On that morning, for the first time, I noticed you only, you only, you only are my salvation. Because one of the things we teach people to do when we teach them to go to the Word of God for themselves, to discover truth for yourself, to open the Word of God so that you go straight to the Word of God, so that you can say with the psalmist, I have not turned aside from your commandments. Now listen, for you yourself have taught me. And God was teaching me again. In God only. In God only. You only. Our security is only in one place. And it's in the one, Jesus. Jesus, who is in the boat with us. That's where our security is. You only. You are my refuge. My husband said, now don't be late for church. I'll be sitting down front. He was on the third row. I think they were singing. I slipped in beside him. I'd had a wonderful time with the Lord. But I had been interceding very much for our middle son, whose name is Mark. And it's been such a delight for me and for Jack to work with our son, a son who loves our ministry, a son who has a heart for establishing people in God's word, a son who is so excited at what is going on all around the world in the 122 countries where we're working and in the 67 languages, a son who has a heart for missions, a son who loves Israel like his mother loves Israel. And what a joy it was. But when I came home from Israel, I got home on Thursday. He wasn't feeling well, so I didn't see him on Thursday, although we live on the property and he was working on the property. And he said, I am so sick and I'm going home. And he had been vomiting and he had lost about 15 pounds. And he wasn't sleeping. So the next day I met with him. And we were sitting in our office, and I could tell that he was feeling bad. And I thought, now is not the time to discuss business. It's the Memorial Day weekend. We can get together later. I said, son, go home. Go home and just go to bed. And I'm going to pray that you can sleep. And we prayed together, and my son went home. I get to church, and it's May the 28th, Sunday. I get into church, and you know what I forgot to do? I forgot to turn off my cell phone. That is not like me, but I forgot to turn it off. And you know what? It rang in the middle of John's message, my pastor's message. And we're on the third row. You know how I'm scrambling. If it's ever happened to you, you know. I am scrambling. I find the phone. I turn it off. But as I turn it off, I see that it is my grandson, John, that is calling me. John is 23 years old, and he is the son of Mark and my daughter-in-law, Leslie. And I'm sitting there, and it's about halfway through John's sermon, and I'm saying, Lord, what do I do? Because I'm on the third row. Do I get up? Do I walk out? Do I wait until the end of the message? You see, God wants us to trust in Him at all times. He wants us to be so still and so dependent on Him. And I'm not this way. I wish I were more. I'm this way sometimes. But that we would commit everything to Him, that we would walk in the power of His Holy Spirit so that our steps are directed by the Lord. Now, He does that. He does that for us. It says the steps of a righteous man are ordered by the Lord. But just this dependency, just this constant communication of praying without ceasing, constantly talking to God, that's what I want to learn about everything. At every moment to be cognizant of the fact that I belong to God and that I'm to walk with my hand in His. I told Jack, I said, I've got to get this call. And I walked out. I got out and I called John. And John said, Mimi, we've just sent Dad to the hospital and he was just having a seizure. And they've taken him, and I said, where? He said, Erlanger. And I said, we'll be right there. I went in, got my husband. We walked out of church. We got there before the ambulance got there. We got there before the family got there. And finally, to make a long story short, when the doctor came out, first to get my daughter in love and to get John and to tell them what the situation was, then John came out and he said, "Mimi, please come in." And I went in, and the doctor is standing there saying to me, "Your son, lady, has a huge blood clot on his brain. A huge blood clot on his brain. And lady, that's been there, we think, for at least 5 days." And he said, "Lady, this is very, very grave." He said, "Lady, it is so grave, I don't know if he's going to make it. You're in the boat. You have this peace, you have this tranquility, you have this wonderful quiet time with the Lord. And all of a sudden, the boat is rocking, the boat is moving, the water is coming in. What are you going to do? You need to remember that there is a sovereign God who can look at that turmoil and who can say, 'Peace, be still.' I'm a nurse. I know what a huge blood clot on the brain is. I know the damage that it does when it stays there. I know that the doctor is saying to the nurse, 'We have to get this blood clot off of his brain immediately.' And I walk in and look at my son and I pray, 'God,'" and I want you to know, I love my sons, "God, if Mark, as a result of this blood clot, is not going to be able to serve you and be of value to your kingdom, then I'm asking you to take him home. But Lord, if he is going to be of value to your kingdom, in whatever way, I'm asking you to spare his life." Why are you afraid?
Hi, I'm Kay Arthur with Precept Ministries International.
And I'm David Arthur, the CEO at Precept, and we're going to Israel.
And I am so excited because it's a tour like no others. Mm-hmm. If you want to go deep in the Word of God and have the Word of God deep in you, when you open it up and you read about all the things that happened on the Sea of Galilee, you're going to say, "I was sitting there, I saw it."
Yes, and the tour actually starts off at the Sea of Galilee, and it's amazing. You'll wake up that morning, the first day you get there, you'll look out your hotel room window or you'll walk out into the patio, and you'll see this gorgeous view of the Sea of Galilee. The hotel is set right on the water.
When we go to Megiddo, you're going to see where all the armies of the world are going to be gathered. But you're not just going to hear a message on that. We're going to study the book of Revelation. I mean, you're going to see it in a visual way that you will never forget.
Well, you know, and that's what makes our tour a bit different, is we don't just give you sermons or lectures, but this is really an engaging Bible study where it happened. I almost forgot. We've got to tell them about going up to Jerusalem.
Oh my, can you imagine ascending to Jerusalem, reciting the Psalms of Ascension?
Psalm 121.
Yes, and then all of a sudden you see Jerusalem, you see that golden dome, but it's where the temple was and where the temple is going to be. And people just weep. Jerusalem is the city of our God.
We also have an optional tour that you can do prior to that, and we'll take you down to Petra, down to Jordan.
You know, when you come to Israel and people say it, "I'm never the same, and I'll never read the Bible the same way again."
To join Kay and David in Israel, register at precept.org/Israel_tour.
Once again, our web address is preceptsforlife.com. And thanks for your support of Precept Ministries International. Now here again is Precept Ministries' Kay Arthur on Precepts for Life.
Why Are you of little faith? Look at Mark chapter 4 in verse 41. It says, and they became very much afraid. And they said to one another, who then is this that even the wind and the sea obey him? They're in a storm. The wind has come up. The water is coming in. They feel they're going to perish. Jesus is in the boat with them. Jesus is asleep in that boat. They wake him up and they say, you do not care. Listen, I know that God cares. I am not a woman of little faith. But the reason that I know God cares and the reason that I know and am not a woman of a little faith is because I had known Jesus a longer time than the disciples had known him. And I had the benefit of the whole counsel of God. And you do too. I've known him for 43 years now. And I know God because I have been in his word since I came to know him. And I want to learn to hang on his every word and to live in the light of it. So I'm not a woman of little faith. But listen, if you look at this very carefully, he is saying to them, why are you afraid? And then what you see in verse 41, they became very much afraid. And they said to one another, who then is this that even the wind and the sea obey him? Now look, what did they become afraid of? Second, first they're afraid of what? The wind, the storm, the sea, the fact that they're going to perish, the fact that Jesus doesn't care. But then when Jesus says to the wind and the storm and the situation, hush, be still, peace, be still, be at calm, then they become what? Afraid of him. In any given situation, listen to me very carefully, and you may want to write it down. In any given situation, you can either fear the situation or you can fear God who is over the situation. You can fear the situation or you can fear God who is over the situation. Now, when I speak of fearing God, this is what I mean. It's the word for fearing God that means reverence. It's the word for fearing God that means trust. So to fear God, when it says that we are to fear God, it does not mean, if you look up here, it does not mean that you're just standing there shaking and knocking and falling apart like this because you're so afraid of him. But rather, it is this kind of fear. It is the fear where you go down on your knees, so to speak. It's a fear where you respect him, where you know who he is, and where you trust him. And so all of a sudden, they're watching Jesus, and Jesus says to the storm, hush, be still, peace, be still, and the sea and the winds obey him. And all of a sudden, they're looking at this one, and it's like their eyes pop open, and they see who's in the boat with them. So you can either look at the storm or you can look at the one who is where? Where? In the boat with you. In the boat with you. You either fear God or you fear the storm. Our son is in a process of recovery that will probably take a long time. In the midst of this, I saw him from being able to grip my hand and tell me who he was and who we were and who the president was, to all of a sudden losing all that and his arm laying there like a dead fish and him totally, absolutely, completely out of it. I determined in that trial, and I have several others going on too. My mother is dying. My husband is ill. And I'm watching this man that I love hardly being able to walk at certain times, becoming so weak that he just has to sit down. And when he sits down, he still feels so weak. And not knowing what's wrong and not knowing what's causing it. What do you do, girls? What do you do when the storms come? You need to remember, you need to ask yourself, why are you afraid? Why are you afraid? Who's in the boat with you? Who is dwelling inside of you? Who says that he will never leave you? He will never forsake you. Who is the one that promises all things keep on working together for good? When this happened, I determined before God, God, I am not a burden-bearing animal. I am a sheep. And I am to roll and cast all of my care upon you because you care for me. You're in the boat with me. You know about the storm. Nothing hits you by surprise. You're the one that chose me in Christ Jesus before the foundation of the world. And you are the one who has promised to perfect me and to make me complete and to stand blameless before you, before your throne with you in glory. This is who you are. I will not be afraid. When I am afraid, I will what? Put my trust in thee. So I went through all the scriptures that summarize my situation. And one of them was this, 1 Thessalonians chapter 5, verse 18. In everything, give thanks, for this is the what? Will of God in Christ Jesus concerning you. The second thing was this, that I was going to count it all joy. Because James chapter 1 says, my brethren, count it all joy when you encounter various trials, knowing this, that the trial of your faith, the testing of your faith, this is why Jesus said, why are you afraid? Do you still not believe? It's a test of your faith. And so the test of my faith, the trial of my faith works patience. And I am going to let patience have its perfect work so that I might be perfect, so that I might be entire, so that I might not be lacking anything. So that when I see him face to face, I'm not ashamed. The other thing was this. It says that we are to bring every thought captive to the obedience of Jesus Christ. We are to cast down imaginations and every high thing that exalts itself against the knowledge of God. Listen, just whatever the situation, you are to bring every thought captive to the obedience of Jesus Christ. You are to cast down imaginations. You are to cast down every high thing that exalts itself against the knowledge of God. I want you to know on May 28th, on that day, I lost the joy of working with my son. A dream that I had, and the dream was shattered, and the dream was crashed. And you say, maybe someday, but not for a while. Everything changed that day. Everything changed that day. And my husband, since then, I've watched him. What am I going to do? I'm not going to be afraid of the storm. He has authority over the storm.
As you've heard Kay's personal testimony of a life storm, we pray you'll be encouraged in any trials you too may be going through. Precept Ministries' Kay Arthur begins a series in the book of Daniel on Monday here on Precepts for Life. Be sure to join us then and discover truth for yourself. Well, if you'd like a CD or DVD of today's program, this week's programs, or any series you hear on our broadcast, visit our website at preceptsforlife.com for ordering information. While you're there, find out more about other great study resources like the New Inductive Study Bible. Also find out about conferences and study tours. That's at preceptsforlife.com. By phone, reach us toll-free at 1-888-734-7707. That's 888-734-7707. And in Canada, 877-234-2030. And thanks for mentioning this station's call letters when you get in touch. Have a great day. We'll see you tomorrow on Precepts for Life. Precepts for Life is produced by Precept Ministries International, Chattanooga, Tennessee.